Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning, and glad you could be with us. We are, first of all, want everybody to get a handout here. You can take notes if you wish, and please take one of those. And I'd like to remind you, next month, we have a marriage and family conference, September the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, that weekend. And so Friday night, and then Saturday, and then Saturday afternoon, we have our annual church picnic. There's going to be inflatables, there's going to be a lot of activities, a lot of fun. So if you want to get some of these flyers, they're in the back, in the lobby. And you can pick up some of these and invite your friends to come and be in prayer for that. So keep that in our hearts and minds. All right. This year, our theme is Christ is the head of this house. And today we're continuing our study of the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs. And we're coming here to summer as we look at the four seasons. We're looking at the summer season here. And Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 1, on the day of his wedding, the day his heart rejoiced. Let's bow in prayer as we look to the Lord today. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here today. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Pray that your Spirit would speak to us. And I pray for your anointing upon your servant to say the words you would have to be said. And Lord, move in our midst. Take those words and apply them to our hearts and our lives. And teach us what you would have us to learn this day. Father, we pray for those who are ill among us. We ask your hand be upon their bodies and strengthen them. And for those who may be traveling, we pray your mercies upon them. And Father, we worship you, we praise you, we want to exalt you and lift up your name on high. And Lord, we pray, give us an understanding of what you would have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we think today about the Song of Solomon, the first question I might ask you, this opening question might be this: what do you like? What do you like about summer? There are various answers that might be given to that question. The season of summer. Summer is, maybe you like summer for, I like it because it's hot. I like to go swimming in the summer, and we have a garden in our back, so we like to take care of that garden during the summer. That can be a challenge. But maybe you have reasons why summer is so special to you. You have many memories of summer. And so as we think about this season, I think of this also, the fact that because of the way the earth is tilted, it's the closest to the sun. And that of course, is why we have such the hot season of summer. We're looking here at the four seasons of love in the book of Song of Solomon. And last time we considered the springtime, courtship. And today we're looking at the wedding and honeymoon. And then we'll look at the newly married life and matured married life. Love can be hot and passionate, especially as we think about the wedding and honeymoon. And so as you think about this season of love, we're reminded of this. I have enjoyed our wedding day, June 29th. That was a few years ago. I don't know if you recognize those two people there or not. And then after our wedding, we went to San Francisco for our honeymoon. And we had opportunity, our first time to San Francisco. And we stayed in Chinatown in San Francisco and found quite interesting that place there. So there are many memories, and I'm sure that your wedding or your honeymoon also has many memories. I want you to think about this key question. What does God say about wedding and the honeymoon? Believe that the Bible speaks about every area of our lives. And so we come here to consider the book of Song of Songs. What book in the Bible tells us about the seasons of love? And of course, that would be the book of Song of Solomon. And so as we consider the summer of love, we consider the wedding and the honeymoon as the beginning of an intimate relationship. And so the key idea here, I'd like you to consider, is this. Every married couple can enjoy the intimacy of the wedding and the honeymoon. That this is something that was intended for marriage. All right? So keep that in mind. We come to this verse here in Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 9. You have stolen my heart, my sister, and my bride. You have stolen my heart. He repeats this. She is not just a sister, but and through marriage she becomes his bride. And so this intimacy, this word intimacy, what is intimacy? This is a word we sometimes use. Do we understand what it means? And so I'd like for you to consider this question here. What is intimacy? And there are certain things that we need to understand about what intimacy is. First of all, intimacy means open sharing of thoughts, feelings, wants between you and another person. Intimacy requires us to open ourselves up. Now, sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes we find that difficult to open ourselves up to others. But that's involved in intimacy. Intimacy, number two, is expressing the natural child feeling of warmth, tenderness, and closeness to others. So we're trying to draw closer to one another. Intimacy. Number three is listening and really trying to understand your partner's point of view, even if you don't agree with it. But you're trying to understand the other person. That's part of intimacy, understanding them. Intimacy number four is knowing each other better than anyone else. All right? And so there's a constant growth in intimacy, a growth in the closeness with one another. It doesn't happen overnight. And then number five, intimacy is sharing information you would not share with others. So all these give us the idea of the closeness that we might have with one another. I think this is good for us to remember this, that the first step in intimacy, what is that first step? Sometimes that's a difficult step to take. But honesty is the first step toward intimacy. Every healthy relationship is built on a foundation of trust. All right? So that's very important, that there is a foundation of trust. And then the step of honesty and openness and sharing and closeness. These are all ideas of intimacy. Now, if you could kind of define intimacy in a very simple way. Here's a very simple definition of intimacy. If you think of the English language, intimacy, into me you see. That's how you say intimacy. All right? Into me, you're opening up your heart. You're opening up your life. Into me you see. That's intimacy. All right? And I know it's difficult. I struggle with this, opening up yourself to others and opening up yourself to your spouse and intimacy into me, you see. And so we need to have an understanding of what it is. Now, a little bit of a background of what intimacy is about. What does God say about intimacy? Well, first of all, we see the intimacy of a wedding. God performed the first wedding. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were united in marriage. And God said these words, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife." All right? That in marriage, in the bond of marriage, that there is that intimacy in the wedding. And in intimacy of a honeymoon, Adam and Eve consummated their love. It tells us here that they became one flesh. Adam and Eve, his wife, were both naked and they felt no shame. There was that intimacy. There was no shame. As God intended in the bond of marriage. And then we see also that the intimacy of marriage. Jesus speaks of the joining or the uniting closely. Is used for the intimacy of marriage relationship. And so he described the relationship in this way. "For this reason, man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." All right? So this marriage is intended for intimacy. And so we understand this. Now, we come here to Solomon. And what does Solomon say here about intimacy? Remember the last time we looked at the courtship between the Shuhamite and Solomon. And here we see that one day that there's a great commotion, a loud sound in the valley caused by the announcement that the king in all his glory is coming to visit the valley, as we read that. The king comes with his escort. And while we see here that the girl, the Shuhamite, she's interested in this. She's not really concerned because her heart longs for her lover. Remember that young shepherd that she met? The young shepherd? But then, to the amazement of everyone, the king sends his riders to the young woman's house with a message that he desires to see her. And so, as the king brings his entourage to her house, she comes out. Of course, she's shy and she's afraid, and she's brought to the royal carriage. And then, when she looks inside, she sees that the king is none other than the shepherd, her shepherd lover. Not only would he claim her as his wife, but she would discover that her husband was the king. Remember, at first, he revealed himself to her as a shepherd. But now he comes back to get her as his bride, and he is reveals himself as a king. So now, having revealed himself to his beloved as a king, he carries her away to the palace, and they live happily ever after. Now, this is kind of an overview of this story, this part of the story of Song of Solomon. Now, as we read this story, we also see some descriptions about what intimacy is about. What can be said about intimacy from Song of Solomon? And we saw there in chapter 4 and verse 9, "You have stolen my heart." All right? Remember intimacy, "into me you see." You've seen into my heart. You've stolen my heart. My sister, my bride, you've stolen my heart. And so, we see a description he gives here of the wedding. On the day of his wedding, the day his heart rejoiced, he describes her on the day of her wedding. "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful." As you read through this description, he describes her eyes. You can kind of picture the wedding here. You know, as the bride marches down the aisle, you know, everybody is standing, and you know, the groom is looking at the bride, and He sees her eyes, the beauty, her hair, her teeth, her lips, her mouth, her temples, her neck. You are, then these words, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Every wedding, everybody remarks how beautiful the bride was. You know, you hear those words, how beautiful the bride is. And so we see here a description of the wedding. Now, for those of us as Christians, we are also thinking about this, that there is coming a wedding in heaven between Christ and His bride. In Revelation chapter 19, it gives us a description of that wedding. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bride and queen, was given her to wear. And then we're told here that the fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people, the righteousness of Christ, really, here. And then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And, you know, this, think about this, He came first as the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. And we receive Him as our Savior. And then there will be a wedding that will take place in heaven between Christ and His bride. So we see here that description. And then He describes for us the honeymoon. Marital love here is described as a mountaintop experience. Look in chapter 4 and verse 8. As satisfying thirst, and also in Proverbs chapter 5, as exploring a beautiful and fruitful garden. 6 times this is mentioned here, that never grows old. And so as we read through these verses here, and He speaks here, you are a garden, locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. All right? So we see here these words, these first words that He speaks. A garden that is locked, a spring that is enclosed, a sealed fountain. And all these words speak to the fact that both God intends for both the man and the woman to keep themselves pure for their marriage, keep themselves pure for that intimacy that marriage brings. God intended that. And so we see that in these words. God wants both the man and the woman to stay sexually pure before marriage. And so we see that in these words. A garden that is locked, a spring that is enclosed, a sealed fountain. And then your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, describing the beauty of this garden and all the beauty there. You are a garden fountain, a well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. And so these words are given here. And she then describes this way, let my beloved come into his garden and taste his choice fruits. And then he speaks again, I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk. And so the beauty here of the garden is described for us. And then the friends speak here. Eat, friends, and drink. Drink your fill of love. And now the Lord God had planted, we're reminded of this garden scene. It reminds us of the fact that God appeared to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And God walked with him in the Garden of Eden. And the intimacy that God enjoyed and they enjoyed with God in the Garden of Eden. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there he put the man that he had formed. And so this walking in the garden with God, this whole picture of the garden of intimacy is a beautiful picture for us. And so we see that here as he planted the garden. And then later on, Jesus would pray often. His time with his disciples, he often prayed, and that time of fellowship, intimate fellowship he had with them was also in a garden. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? And then Jesus, when he was crucified, that there was a garden nearby, and in that garden was a tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so through the cross, in the empty tomb, we see that there is a garden of fellowship with God through Christ. And so, this picture of a garden. Now, there are several applications we can make to this, understanding what intimacy is all about. First of all, intimacy is about respect. Do you and your spouse respect each other as human beings, as lovers, and even as co-parents, respecting one another? When you and your spouse speak to each other, do your words and tone of voice include empathy and compassion and understanding? So this is part of intimacy, showing respect to one another. Another part of intimacy is affection. We talk about, the young people talk about public displays of affection, PDAs. This affection, how often do you and your spouse engage in and displays of affection that are non-sexual, holding of hands, you know, and so forth. Just the display of affection. I see an old, sometimes we take a walk or something, and I see an old couple, an older couple. They look like they're in their 80s, and they're going for a walk, and they're holding hands. And it always touches my heart to see that, I don't know, they've been married 50 years, I don't know, 40 years, whatever. And they're still holding hands as they go for a walk together. And then other displays, even sexual displays of affection in private. But this affection, showing affection to one another in appropriate ways. And then support for each other is part of intimacy. Are you and your spouse supportive of each other's goals and dreams? Are you and your spouse aware of the challenges each of you face as well as your needs from each other and from the relationship? Yesterday, we enjoyed having a lunch with our good friends of ours. We've known this couple. They've been married now almost 2 years, but before that they dated for about 10 years. Well, Elijah and Monica Katamori. And she, Friday, she took her final exam. She's a medical doctor. And not only, you know, all that period of time, anybody who's in medical studies, all those years of study, and she took her final board exam on Friday. And, you know, it was like, she said, for the first time in my life, I don't have to be studying for a test. It was kind of, she said, I just kind of, after I finished the test, I came home and I kind of collapsed. I mean, just, so the first time, you know, in their marriage, they had sacrificed so much to help her finish up her education and get her, her college boards. And now, of course, she's a certified medical doctor. But this support of one another was part of their marriage as well, and their dating, all those times of years of dating and marriage. And then there's quality time. How much time do you and your spouse spend together outside of your daily routine, focused on each other and not distracted by other things? And so they're having some quality time together is also a part of intimacy. And then an important part of intimacy is trust. Do you and your spouse trust each other enough to be completely open and honest about your thoughts, your feelings, your needs? What is it you're thinking? And then a very important part of that intimacy is communication. Do you and your spouse speak about your day-to-day activities and even deeper issues? Sharing, what are your hopes? What are your fears? What are your dreams? What are your challenges? What are your needs? So, as we think about intimacy, it's really opening up ourselves to each other and sharing life together. And it has to be worked on. It has to be preserved. That here's an exercise, if you're interested, that maybe some might consider doing. When was the last time you did a conversation about something other than money, work, kids, or whatever? Called or text one another for no reason at all. Went on a date together. Gave a card or flowers or similar token of affection. Prayed together. Sacrificed time, money, or comfort for each other. Maybe you can think of this as an intimacy meter. How from cold to hot or even fiery hot. So we think about this intimacy. And a key application is this. We have to take time to be intimate. We have to take time to work on our relationships and enjoy intimacy with your spouse. But remember this. Intimacy is not purely physical. It's the act of connecting with someone so deeply you feel like you can see into their soul. All right? Remember how intimacy is see into me. Never allow anyone to occupy that intimate place in your heart. That place is for your spouse only, except for, here's one exception. But I say this, sometimes maybe you're spending more time at work than you have at home, and somebody at work, if you're not careful, can take that place of intimacy. You share your feelings, you share your thoughts with that person more than your spouse. So that's something to be careful of. But except for this, our intimacy with God. And I think this is a key to our intimacy with each other, is our relationship with God. This past week we were discussing this in our Bible study on Wednesday morning, and we're going now through 1 John and talking about having a relationship with God, not a religion, but a relationship with God. And so, what is your relationship with God? Now, John 17:3 tells us these words. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Through Jesus Christ, we can have an intimate relationship with God. We can know God, have a relationship with Him through Christ. And so our first step is to know God, is to know Christ. And through that, we have a relationship with God. And then God intended that relationship to be a growing relationship. God intended that relationship to be an intimate relationship. And so think about this. What about your intimacy with God? And a key passage is John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, 9 times we see the word abide. It's sometimes translated remain. Sometimes it's translated continue. We abide in Him and He abides in us. That's what intimacy with God. We read these verses here. Remain in me, or abide in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it would be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so, God intends us through Christ to have a very close and intimate relationship with Him. And so that's the picture we have here. This phrase, abiding in Christ. remaining in Him, continuing in Him, growing in Him, is a picture of an intimate relationship. Not just a superficial, outward relationship or acquaintance. It's not an outward religion, but it's a intimate relationship with God through Christ. And so the words here we see, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. So, 9 times we're reminded of this, how important that we have this close relationship, this intimacy with God. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If we abide in Him, we have this intimate relationship with God through Christ, our hearts will be full of this joy. Our hearts, that joy will be made complete. And James chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells us here, come near to God and He will come near to you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. You know, Job said these words in Job chapter 29 verse 4. When God's intimate friendship blessed my house. Christ goes on in chapter 15 and tells us that we're not just His servants, but He wants us to be His friends, that intimate relationship. Just like Job was speaking of here, that he had this intimate friendship. When God, intimate friendship blessed my house. On Friday nights, the youth, we've been studying about, different teachers have been sharing, and we've been studying about believing. And the first 10 lessons we learned about what is it we believe, and that's kind of oftentimes that's just in our head. So the next 10 lessons, which we started last Friday, is what do we do? So what brings it from our head down to our hearts? So lesson 1, for example, what do we know about God? Okay, that's in our heads. But lesson 11, which we had last Friday, is talking about worship. Bringing it down to our hearts. Worship. I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 95. These are the verses we read on Friday night. 5, verse 1 and 2. And then I'd like you to look with me at verse 6. Psalm 95, 1 and 2, and then verse 6. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving. And then verse 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now what does this mean? God is inviting us. Invitation. Come. Come. Come and let us praise Him. Give Him thanks. Let us bow down and worship Him. That's part of intimacy, and we need to understand that. That's doing. Not just what we believe in our minds, our heads, but in our hearts. Worshiping Him. And that intimacy that we have through worship. Now I think about that. I think of this Moses. God invited him to come. And Moses, he said in Exodus 24 and verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. He invited Moses to come up to the top of the mountain. And there, God revealed Himself to Moses face to face on the mountain, gave him the Ten Commandments. Remember Moses, how he came down, his face shone. He had put a veil over his face because of his intimacy with God. On your own, you can take a look at this. Back in 2010, there was a man who went to Yosemite Park, to the mountain, Mount Yosemite. And a man went hiking. And he came to that mountain. And as he came up to that mountain, it was just, the mountain was so beautiful, but at that moment, a rainbow appeared. And all the colors of the rainbow. And he looked at that, oh my God. And this is all recorded. If you want to view it, over 45 million people have viewed this on YouTube. But he looked up at them, and then not just one rainbow, but a second rainbow appeared. Oh my God. Oh! And he looks at that. He starts crying. He was so feeling the presence of God. Oh! Oh my God. And the colors were so bright in those two rainbows that they appeared. He started crying. And then he started saying these words, what does this mean? What does this mean? What is God saying? And I think of that, it was so moving. In God's presence, as Moses was on that mountain, as we are in our presence before God, God invites us to come before Him and allow Him to draw near to us as we draw near to Him. And then we have that close fellowship with Him. That's what He invites us. That's what He wants for us to have. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's bow in prayer together. Oh Lord, we come before You because You invite us to come. And the intimate relationships we have here on this earth with friends and in marriage is a picture of our relationship that we should have with You, the intimate relationship. You invite us to come to the mountain. You invite us to come into Your very presence, Lord, that we might draw near to You and You draw near to us. Lord, I pray, yes, we want to have intimate relationships with our friends and with our spouses, but even more important, Lord, may we have that intimate, close relationship with You. Lord, that You would, as You invite us to come to You, that we would bow down and we would worship and we would praise and give thanks to You. Our hearts would be warmed and set on fire from being in Your presence. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.